You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
If you're into true crime, and especially if you have a deep appreciation for made-for-TV movies that bring real stories to life, you are going to love Residue Podcast. Christy Champagne is the girl behind the mic, a true crime fan who grew up on Lifetime thrillers and VHS crime dramas. Christy brings deep research, storytelling, and just the right amount of commentary. Residue tells the real true crime stories that inspired those unforgettable movies. She's covered the death of a cheerleader case, the real-life murder of Kristen Costas by a classmate who just wanted to fit in A Cry for Help, she dives into the heartbreaking case of Tracy Thurman, a woman who fought back after years of abuse, whose husband nearly killed her, and whose legal battle exposed how police and systems often failed domestic violence victims. And in Small Sacrifices, she explores the horrifying Diane Downs case, a mother who shot her three children. Diane tried to blame a stranger, but the truth unraveled in hidden diaries, chilling interviews, and a witness who survived. The trial became one of the most shocking moments in true crime and TV movie history. If you love movies that are based on true stories and crave the truth behind them, this is your next binge. Follow Residue wherever you get your podcasts. Hey there, creepy crew and my spooktacular weirdos. Welcome back to another episode of Creepy Shit. And today we are going into our second asylum story. And asylums always, truthfully, scare the living bejesus right out of me, because the history in these facilities is so creepy and utterly terrifying and disturbing. I mean, I remember watching the second season of American Horror Story, and it was the Asylum series, and I was so apprehensive about it, but I watched it anyway, and I wound up loving it. And truth be told, I feel these stories, even as disturbing as they are fundamentally so important that we do tell them so that hopefully, history will not repeat itself. Now, our first episode that we did on an asylum was, I want to say that was back in, it was a few months ago. I know that. It was probably midsummer. And that was all about Winnebago and in my home state. And that, fortunately, that story, if you haven't listened to it, you should go back and listen to it after this one. It's a good story because it actually has somewhat of a happy ending to it. And I will tell you that today, this does not. So, not to be too overly morbid, but today we are diving into something that is seriously going to stick with you. We're talking about Danvers State Hospital. And I'm telling you right now, this place makes every horror movie you've seen look like a flippin' Disney flick. I am not kidding you. So allow me to preface this with the fact that this isn't just any asylum that we're going into today. This is a place that literally inspired H.P. Lovecraft's Arkham Sanitarium. Yeah, that Arkham. The one that made you sleep with the lights on? I know it did for me. And trust me, by the end of this episode, you are going to understand why. So let's get comfortable with the uncomfortable. Grab your favorite blankie and bevy, and let's do this. All right, so we're going to go back a little ways. It is 1878, and Massachusetts decides they need a new state hospital for the mentally ill. Sounds innocent enough, right? Wrong. They build this massive Gothic revival structure on Hawthorne Hill in Danvers. And yeah, that's the same Hawthorne family from the Salem witch trials, because apparently the land wasn't cursed enough already. So the architect, Nathaniel Bradley, designed this thing to look like a fucking bat when viewed from above. So I shit you not, a bat. If you look at this from up above and you had like a drone and you did drone photography, it's got sprawling wings extending from like the central administration building. The whole complex was supposed to house 600 patients maximum. Now, keep that number in mind because we're going to come back to it. The original philosophy was actually pretty progressive for the time. They called it moral treatment. It was this idea of fresh air, sunlight, and humane care that would help patients recover. The building sat on 900 acres of farmland, which is just gorgeous. Like, can you imagine just wandering through that? Like, I bet it was beautiful. And patients were supposed to work the grounds as like part of their therapy. Hell, they even had their own like cemetery on site, which, okay, that's like a total red flag, number one. Like, am I right? But here's where things got so dark and real quick. By the early 1900s, everything started falling apart. The moral treatment philosophy got thrown out the window faster than you could say lobotomy. The hospital went from 600 patients, get ready, to over 2,700 at its peak. Like, holy cannoli, honestly. Let me paint you a picture of what that actually looks like, okay? Imagine being crammed into a building with four times the number of people it was designed for. Patients were sleeping in hallways, in basements, wherever they could find space. And the smell alone, ew, like so much ew between human waste, unwashed bodies, fear, and desperation all mixed together in this, just crazy Gothic nightmare. And the staff couldn't handle it. And let's be honest here, nobody could. What started as a place of healing turned into a warehouse for human suffering. And that's when the real monsters showed up, the ones wearing the white coats. Now, I need to warn you, this next part gets really dark and really brutal. We're talking about real people here who suffered real horrors. And I will tell you right now, if you are squeamish, you maybe want to skip ahead about 3 to 5 minutes. So heed that warning. But if you're in, let's ride. Dr. Walter Freeman. Remember that name because he is honestly the boogeyman in this story. He pioneered the transorbital lobotomy at Danvers. This piece of shit would literally drive an ice pick through patients' eye sockets into their brains. No anesthesia half the time. And he called it soul surgery. I call it horrific and sadistic, tortured, you bastard. Like, honestly. Freeman performed these procedures in like an assembly line fashion. And I am telling you, I already have a mental picture on this, and it is just so horrific. Patients would be lined up, and he'd go down the row, ice pick after ice pick, destroying frontal lobes like he was working in a morbid factory. And if that's not bad enough, the worst part is hospital records show he performed over 3,000 of these procedures at Danvers alone. Never mind anywhere else he may have traveled to. Like, ugh. And that's not even getting, like, we're not even getting into the other parts, like electric shock therapy, where they'd strap the patients to tables and send electricity coursing through their brains. Sometimes the voltage was so high. Oh, I'm so sorry to say this. It would break bones. Patients would bite through their own tongues. The treatment, quote unquote, rooms reeked of burned flesh and ozone. But you know what the most fucked up part is? The hospital staff, oh, this is so disgusting. The hospital staff started taking bets on which patients would survive the procedures. That is absolutely revolting to me. That is awful. Like, oh my God, what the fuck is wrong with you? Honestly, like, I cannot even with that. So seriously, patient records from the 1940s and 50s paint a picture of absolute hell, do they not? People chained to beds for months at a time. Patients left to sit in their own waste. Hydrotherapy, quote unquote, that was really just torture by either scalding or freezing water. There's one account from a former nurse, and I'm not going to give like any sort of names because honestly, she's probably still alive. And she described finding patients who had been forgotten in isolation cells for weeks. Some had clawed their fingernails off, trying to dig through the walls. And others had gone completely catatonic from sensory deprivation. And if all of this isn't like creepy or disturbing enough, here's something that's going to make your skin crawl. They had a whole section called the back wards where they kept the patients they'd essentially given up on. These people were so broken by the treatments, so destroyed by the system that they were just warehoused until they died. Like, what? The mortality rate at Danvers was astronomically high. We're talking about people dying from accidents during procedures, and I say accidents with quotation marks, dying from infections that went untreated, from suicides. And yeah, some of what can only be described as staff negligence that bordered on murder, let's be honest. Now, you might be thinking, okay, this is horrible, but what does this have to do with hauntings? Well, my creepy crew and morbid little friends, let me tell you something. Trauma doesn't just disappear when someone dies. It soaks into the walls. It saturates the air. It becomes part of the place itself. By the 1960s, even the staff at Danvers knew something was wrong beyond just the institutional problems. Night shift workers started reporting things, sounds that couldn't be explained, patients talking to people who weren't there, but not in a schizophrenic way. They'd be having full conversations with invisible figures, and when asked who they were talking to, they'd describe former patients who had died years earlier in detail. Patients who the current residents had never even met. Now, maintenance workers started refusing to go into certain areas alone. The tunnels beneath the hospital, because of course there were fucking tunnels, became notorious for strange occurrences. Tools would go missing and show up in completely different buildings. Workers would hear their names called from empty rooms. And then there were the photographs. In the 1970s, a photographer named Christopher Payne, that's ironic, was documenting abandoned buildings across the country. He got permission to photograph parts of Danvers that had been shut down. When he developed his film, because this was back when, you know, you actually had to develop photographs, he found images that he swears he never took. Faces in windows of rooms he never even entered. Shadows shaped like people in areas where no one had been standing. And in one particularly disturbing photo, and I'm going to try and post this as well, what appears to be a group of patients in hospital gowns standing at the end of a hallway, except that wing had been closed for over a decade at this point. Now, Payne showed these photos to former staff members, and multiple people identified specific patients in the images. Patients who had been dead for years. So Danvers actually finally closed its doors in 1992. But that's when shit really hit the fan. Without the daily activity of the living to mask whatever was lurking in those halls, the paranormal activity went through the fucking roof. Like urban explorers, and look, I'm not condoning trespassing, but I understand the draw, started sneaking into the abandoned buildings, and the stories they brought back were insane. People reported being physically pushed by invisible hands. Explorers would enter rooms and have the doors slammed shut behind them, only to find that the doors weren't even closed in the first place, and they were somehow barricaded from the outside. Security guards were hired to patrol the empty buildings. They would quit, like, within weeks, citing unexplainable events. Huh. Now, one security company went through 11 different guards in 6 months. 11. But here's what really gets me. Multiple witnesses reported seeing the same apparitions. The classic, a woman in white dress walking the halls of the female ward. A tall man in orderly clothes who would appear at the end of hallways and just, oh, this is creepy, and would just watch. Ew. And most disturbing of all, trigger alert, the sound of children crying and screaming from the pediatric wing. Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. So, because now, if this story wasn't dark enough already, let's just throw that log on the fire. Okay. In 2005, they finally decided to tear most of the complex down and, get this, to build fucking condos, because that's a great idea, because nothing says luxury living like building on the site of decades human suffering. Am I right? Oh, that is awful. But when the demolition was plagued by problems. Equipment would malfunction for no reason. Workers reported tools being thrown by invisible hands. And the demolition crew went through three different companies before finding one that would actually finish the job. Now, if I could just take a little bit of a pause here and analyze this, my thought on this, if all of this weird stuff is happening during construction, number one, if you're into the paranormal or if you're new, you might not know or you do know that spirits don't like upheaval or disruption. They like everything to stay just the way it was, right? So now with that in mind, I also wonder if these activities were actually trying to heed a warning to these people, like, hey, you do not want to build your fucking condo here. Like, honestly, that's kind of what I wonder. Like, and let me tell you something, if I was in that construction situation, I'm going to listen to that. Like, if I suddenly just saw tools being randomly thrown, yeah, I'm going to say, you know what, we may not want to do this. I'm with you. Now, here's where it gets really, really weird. During the demolition, they found things that shouldn't have been there. There were hidden rooms that weren't on any blueprints. Personal belongings were found in the walls, like they had been bricked up with people's possessions. And in one particularly disturbing discovery, they found what appeared to be a patient restraint that had been modified in ways that suggested they weren't being used for medical purposes. And we'll just leave it at that. Now, today, most of Danvers State Hospital is gone. There's a Walgreens where the main building used to stand. Oh my God, I so want to go in there. I really want to go in there. You know that is a haunted ass Walgreens. Like, it's gotta be, right? And luxury condos dot the property. But demolishing the buildings, oh, and I knew it, didn't end the hauntings. It just moved them around. Now, residents of the new condos report some seriously fucked up shit. Voices in the walls, doors opening and closing on their own, and get this, multiple families have reported their young children talking to the sad people who only they can see. Now, one family moved out after their 4-year-old daughter started having conversations with someone she called the doctor with the scary tool. Yeah, I'm going to grab my kid and we bounce. Like, Nope. When they asked her to describe him, she perfectly described Walter Freeman, the lobotomy guy, down to his bow tie and wire-rimmed glasses. She'd never even seen a picture of him. Hell, most adults wouldn't even recognize him. You know what I mean? Now, to my theory, the Walgreens. The Walgreens employees have their own stories. Medications moving around overnight. The automatic doors opening for no one. And several employees have reported seeing a tall, thin man in a white coat walking through the pharmacy section in the early morning hours before opening. But here's what really fucks with me about this whole situation. Because remember how I mentioned the hospital was built on Hawthorne Hill? Well, it turns out John Hawthorne, the hanging judge from the Salem witch trials, used to own this exact piece of land. This is the same guy who sent 19 people to their deaths for witchcraft. His great-great-grandson, Nathaniel Hawthorne, yeah, the author, added a W to the family name specifically to distance himself from his ancestors' legacy. Honestly, I don't blame the guy. So, we've got land that was already soaked in blood of innocent people. Then we build a hospital on it where thousands more suffered and died in unimaginable, horrific ways. I mean, really, is it any wonder that this place is so flipping haunted? I don't think so. I really don't. Like, paranormal investigation groups have been trying to document the Danvers hauntings for decades. The most credible team, the New England Paranormal Research Society, conducted a year-long investigation from 2003 to 2004, right before the demolition. Their findings were disturbing, to say the least. They recorded over 200 hours. Damn! 200 hours of audio and found hundreds of EVPs, electronic voice phenomena. But these weren't your typical ghost whispers. They captured full conversations between multiple entities. Holy fucking shit. Could you imagine that? Like, wow, that is just wild. Discussions about procedures, patients calling for help, and the most chilling of all, what sounded like medical staff discussing which patients to select for treatments. The thermal imaging revealed human-shaped cold spots throughout the buildings. But here's the kicker. The cold spots moved in patterns that suggested they were walking the same routes over and over and over again. That's residual. That's a residual haunting. Like, they were stuck in some kind of, like, loop, reliving their final days forever. One recording that still, like, no joke, I did have a scary-ass fucking dream after researching this part. Like, gives it still, like, it's very unsettling. Captured what sounds like a lobotomy procedure taking place. They could hear the man begging. The sound, oh, I'm getting chills. Okay. The sound of bone, like metal against the bone, and then just silence. This was recorded in 2004 in a building that had been empty for 12 years. Now, I've definitely looked into things, and I'm not going to give names because most of them prefer to stay anonymous. And these are the people, like, who lived through the final years of Danvers as employees, and their stories. Holy cheese and rice. That's all I got to say. One former nurse talked about a patient who would predict staff deaths. Not in a threatening way, but like he was genuinely trying to warn them. He'd walk up to employees and say things like, "You should call in sick tomorrow," or "Don't take the late shift next week." And you know what? Every single time someone ignored those warnings, something happened. A maintenance worker described finding patient rooms that would be ice cold in the middle of summer, even like when, even like in wintertime too, like when the heat was running full blast, but only specific rooms and always the same ones. When they checked the hospital records, those rooms had the highest mortality rates in the entire facility. You can't tell me that's coincidence. I don't believe in it anyway. And multiple staff members reported the same recurring nightmare after working at Danvers for more than a year. They would dream they were patients themselves, strapped to a table, watching Dr. Freeman approach with his ice pick. But here's the fucked up part. In the dreams, they could see through the walls to other rooms where the same thing was happening to other people. Like they were experiencing the same kind of collective memory of trauma. Yeah. Oh my gosh. One thing most people don't know about Danvers is the extensive tunnel system beneath the buildings. They weren't just like utility tunnels. They were wide enough to move gurneys through, connecting every building on the campus. Urban explorers who made it into these tunnels before the demolition, before the demolition described them as the most haunted part of the entire complex, which, yeah, totally not surprised by that. The walls were covered in scratches, not graffiti, but actual claw marks, like someone or something had been trying to dig through solid concrete with their bare hands. They found rooms down there that weren't on any hospital blueprints, rooms with restraint systems built into the walls, rooms with drainage systems in the floors, rooms that served no medical purpose that anyone could determine. And the sounds? Jeebus. The sounds they described. Footsteps that would follow you but always stay out of sight. Voices echoing from dead-end tunnels. And most terrifying of all, the sound of gurneys rolling through the tunnels, complete with squeaky wheels, even though no gurneys had been down there for like decades. Now, I haven't talked much about the pediatric wing, and there's a reason for that. This shit is so dark and so fucking disturbing that I honestly debated whether to include it at all. And as a mother, and I'm sure if any of you are parents out there, you will understand this, but Danvers housed children as young as 6 years old. 6 years old. And these kids received the same treatments, quote unquote, as the adults. And unfortunately, yes, even the lobotomies, all of those things, which is just so sick and awful. I can't even. The children's wing is where the most active hauntings occur today. Even after the demolition, even with the luxury condos being built on top of it, people report the sounds of children crying, playing, screaming, calling for their parents. Oh, that just breaks my heart so much. Seriously. One family in the new condos had to move out after their baby daughter would scream every night at exactly 3:17 a.m., pointing at the same corner of her room and crying, hurt babies, over and over again. She wasn't even old enough to really like talk yet, but those two words came out clear as day. Absolutely. I would have packed up all our shit and left. Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, no questions asked. I'd probably just abandon it altogether and just go. Like, honestly. I mean, what would you do? You know? And here's what really gets me. Hospital records show that children in the pediatric ward had a 90% mortality rate. 90 fucking percent. These weren't sick kids getting better. This was systematic killing described as medicine. That is truly awful. Here's something that doesn't get talked about much. The hauntings at Danvers don't stay at Danvers. People who spent significant time in that building, alive or dead, seem to carry something with them. Former employees reported paranormal activity in their homes that started after they began working at the hospital. Families of patients who died there experienced hauntings that seemed directly connected to their lost loved ones. One former orderly told the story that for 15 years after leaving Danvers, he'd get phone calls in the middle of the night. And when he'd answer, he'd hear voices of patients calling his name, asking. And get this, the calls would come from the hospital's phone number, even years after it had been disconnected. A nurse reported that patients she'd care for who died at Danvers would appear in her dreams, not as they were when they died, but as they were before the treatments destroyed them. They'd thank her for being kind, for seeing them as human when no one else would. Now, I know some of you could be thinking this is all just psychological trauma and suggestion and mass hysteria. And look, I get it. I'm a rational person. I do believe in science. But here's the thing. Multiple teams of investigators have documented electromagnetic anomalies throughout the Danvers site that can't be explained by conventional science. There's temperature fluctuations that defy physics. Infrasound recordings that suggest the presence of frequencies that shouldn't exist in empty buildings. Dr. Michael Persinger, a neuropsychologist, yes, who studied haunted locations, found that places with histories of intense trauma often exhibit electromagnetic fields that can trigger hallucinations and feelings of being watched. But his tests at Danvers showed electromagnetic readings that were off the flipping charts, like readings that would require massive electrical equipment to generate, equipment that wasn't present in the abandoned buildings. The stone tape theory suggests that traumatic events that can somehow be recorded in physical environment, like a psychic imprint that can be replayed under certain circumstances or conditions, if that's true, then Danvers would be like a vast library of human suffering, playing back decades of horror on an endless loop. And one thing that always bothers me about the Danvers story is how hard certain people have worked to suppress information about what really happened there. Hospital records that should be public have mysteriously gone missing. Former employees have been asked to sign additional non-disclosure agreements decades after they stopped working there. Why? What are they so afraid of that people will find out? I've heard rumors, of course, and I want to be clear, these are just rumors. Rumors that some of the treatments at Danvers went way beyond what was standard, even for that era. Experiments that were more about testing the limits of human endurance than anything medical. There are suggestions that government agencies used Danvers as a testing ground for psychological torture techniques that would later be refined for military use. Now, the MKUltra program had tentacles everywhere, and a place like Danvers, full of people no one would miss, would have been perfect for that kind of research. Now, I can't prove any of that, but it would explain a lot. The unusual room configurations found during demolition, the modified restraints, the extremely high mortality rate, and why certain people are so interested in keeping the truth buried. And look, I've spent a lot of time researching this place, and I'm going to be straight with you. I am a believer, you know this, not because I want to be, but because the evidence is overwhelming. There are way too many credible witnesses in this account, too many documented incidences, too many pieces of evidence that cannot be explained away. But I get it if you're skeptical. Hell, if someone told me this story 10 years ago, I might have laughed them right out of the room. But the thing is, places like Danvers force us to confront some uncomfortable truths about human nature, about what we're capable of doing to each other, about how thin the line is between civilization and barbarism. And maybe, just maybe, they force us to consider that death isn't always the end of the suffering. Now, today, if you drive through Danvers, you'd never know. You would never know what happened there. The Walgreens looks like any other Walgreens. The condos are indistinguishable from any other luxury development. Life goes on. But the people who lived through the horror of Danvers State Hospital, patients, families, even staff who tried to do the right thing in an impossible situation, they deserve to be remembered, not as curiosities and ghost stories, but as human beings who suffered in ways that should never, ever, ever happen again. The paranormal activity at Danvers is not entertainment. It's not a fucking amusement park ride, okay? It's the echo of real trauma experienced by real people. And if those echoes are still crying out, still trying to be heard, then maybe we owe it to them to listen. Here's what scares me the most about the whole Danvers story. It's not ancient history. The last patient didn't leave until 1992. Some of the staff who participated in these atrocities are still alive today. The bureaucrats who allowed it to continue, the pharmaceutical companies that profited from experimental drug testing on unwilling subjects, the awful, dirty politicians who turned a blind eye to the suffering. Many of them are still around. And our mental health system today, it's better than Danvers, sure, but that's a pretty low bar, let's be honest. We still warehouse people with mental illness. We still treat them less than human. We still prioritize cost savings over human dignity. So yeah, Danvers is haunted. And honestly, maybe it should be. Maybe those voices calling out from the darkness are trying to warn us not to let it happen again. And I do believe that. I do believe that. And I want to leave you with one last piece of evidence. Something that happened just a few years ago. A construction worker was doing some landscaping work on the Danvers site. And it was near where the old children's ward used to stand. He was digging a foundation for a new garden, when his shovel hit something hard. It was a small metal box buried about three feet down. Inside were children's drawings, dozens of them, pictures drawn by kids who had been patients at Danvers decades earlier. Pictures of families they missed. Pictures of the world outside the hospital walls. Pictures of the home that they so desperately wanted to go back to. But mixed in with those innocent drawings were other pictures. And this is a trigger alert. Pictures of the treatments, of the doctors, of the things that were done to them, drawn by children who had no other way to tell their story. The construction worker turned over the box to the local historical society, and they confirmed the authenticity of the drawings and the timeline. These were real pictures drawn by real children, buried by someone who wanted to preserve their voices. Those children never made it home. But their pictures? Whew. Okay, sorry. Mom moment. Had to get that out. But their pictures survived. Their truth survived. And every now and then, when the wind blows just right across that Walgreens parking lot, people say that you can still hear them, still trying to tell their story, still asking someone, anyone, to remember that they were there. Pretty intense and pretty powerful, would you say? And I know this one is heavy. It's definitely heavy, and I know it's going to stick with you for a little while. I know it has for me. I had this outlined for a while, and I honestly kept pushing this one to the back burner because I knew this one was really going to hit. So, and I know it's going to stick with me for a little while. So I want to say this. If you're dealing with mental health issues yourself, please, please, please reach out for help. Call a hotline, talk to a friend, see a therapist if you can. The system isn't perfect, but I will say this, it is a hell of a lot better than what it ever was at Danvers. And hopefully, as I have said before, these stories are just really important so that we hopefully never repeat it. And that's why I feel talking about it and getting it out there is so important. Now, if you ever find yourself driving through Massachusetts, maybe swing by that Walgreens, pick up some gum or whatever. Just take a moment to remember the people who suffered there. Say their names if you know them. Acknowledge that they existed, that they mattered, and that they deserved better. Because maybe that's all they're really asking for. To be remembered, to be acknowledged, and to not be forgotten. All right, you guys, that's all I've got for today. If you loved this episode, please share it with a friend. Please give a 5-star review and leave a little comment. That I love reading your comments. I love reading your reviews. And if you want to take our friendship to like the next level, go ahead, find me over on the socials. I'm over on Instagram at creepy_shit_podcast. And you can also find me now on TikTok at creepyhoststar. Another little tidbit that I'm going to share with you, if you have any stories that you would like to share or any stories that you'd like me to actually cover, please feel free to send them to me because FYI, we have a website and an email coming very, very soon. In the meantime, just DM them to me. I'd love to hear from you. I have loved connecting with all of you. You guys are so freaking cool. You share so much with me, and it's just been great to connect with you. So until next week, remember, sometimes the creepiest shit is also the truest. Bye.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on Spin Quest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to spinquest.com right now.
Spin Quest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit spinquest.com for more details.